And because of that, we are no longer slaves to fear. Once upon a time, you and I were enslaved to fear. But I thank God today that all the fear that I was supposed to embrace, be captured by and enslaved by Jesus my Lord, took all of that, and in its place he gave me the spirit of power, love, and a sound, mature, disciplined mind. We're studying through the book of Matthew. We've been in this book for, I guess, close to a year and a half, maybe longer than that. We're coming close to the end of it. And we are here in the 26th chapter. And the Lord is before the high priest. He's been harassed and attacked from every side. They're looking for false witnesses, people to come around to accuse him. And the accusers or the false witnesses are tripping all over themselves and they are not able to come up with anything. But it's like anything else. If you keep on pushing long enough, you might just come up with something, anything. And so they did. But the reality is that God loved us so much, and the Lord Jesus Christ did mention that he had come to destroy the works of the devil. He came to save me and to save you. So death was going to come, and he was going to lay his life down. It didn't matter whether Judas betrayed him. That was what was going to happen. It had been prophesied. But because it had been prophesied didn't necessarily mean that it had to happen that way or that there was no reversal. Because when Judas came to the garden to betray the Lord called him friend. Well, we can expound on that much more, because sometimes your enemy is your friend. Your enemy is your friend because your enemy sometimes helps you fulfill your destiny and your purpose. But at the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, he brought Judas so close to him that Judas was dipping from the same bowl with him. He didn't put Judas far over there. Was close to him, as was John. The reality in life is this, that you and I have a destiny. We have a destiny. We have something that God is calling us to accomplish. And that destiny and that purpose ultimately is going to happen if we follow the will and the purpose of the Lord. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What I'm saying is this, that because God wants something to happen doesn't mean that you don't have a choice. He has never removed the ability for choices from you. If you receive a prophetic word, it still depends on you agreeing with that prophetic word for it to happen. So Paul says, fight a good fight based on the spiritual prophetic statements that have been prophesied over your life. The Lord is in the garden and he's saying, God, is there another way to deal with this thing? But not my will, but your will. And now he's with the disciples. Judas is there betraying him. Peter has taken a knife and cut off somebody's ear off, and the Lord says, if I wanted legions of angels to come help me, don't you think I can ask my Father for that? And he will send it just like that. So even till that moment, he still had a choice. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the fact that Jesus went to the cross was a decision he made. He set his faith as a flint to go there. But because you have decided to do something doesn't mean that you're still not challenged. The thing is to go over those challenges, those times of limitation. And in verse 60 of Matthew chapter 26, for us to continue, they are looking for false witnesses to accuse him. And the Bible says, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, it was not because of a shortage of false witnesses. They had lots of them. Yet they found none. They found nothing to hook on him. But then it says, at the last, at the very end, came two false witnesses. They said, this fella said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. This is the accusation. Well, on a normal day, you will look at that and say, get out of here. So he said that. He's going to tear down the temple and build it up in 3 days. So he said that. Still, we need something substantial. No, they hopped on that because they had nothing to hold on to. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? You're going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days? The Bible says, but Jesus held his peace, kept quiet. The high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Tell us that. Because he knew the other one didn't work. So now, this is a lesson. By the words that come out of your mouth, you are either condemned or released. Guilty or free. And what's the response of the Lord? The Lord says to the high priest, thou hast said. You've said it. In essence, I'm exactly what you just said. You got it right. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man. You're going to see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Not just the Son of God. You're going to see me sitting at the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of glory. The high priest rent his clothes. Superman, right? He had spoken blasphemy, he says. What further need have we of witnesses? We don't need any other witness. This guy is saying that he's the Son of God. This guy is saying that he's going to come back. This guy is saying he's going to sit at the right hand of power. Who is able to do that but the Christ? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. It's not blasphemy when you're telling the truth. But he was accused of blasphemy because by his very statements, and they understood it, he was declaring that he was God. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. Wow, interesting. This is exactly what the prophetic words stated in the book of Isaiah that they were going to do. That they were going to just rain on him. Isaiah tells us that they plucked out the beard of his face and beat him so badly that you didn't even recognize that this was a human being. It was a blob of blood. They buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. They're doing stuff like this, and they're saying, who hit you? Who smote thee? Prophesy unto us. Thou Christ, watch that. Saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, the anointed one, thou Messiah. They're saying it out of their mouths. They were the ones blaspheming. Who is he that smote thee, he said? Who hit you? Now, the Bible tells us, in verse 69, says, Peter was sitting outside in the palace. And a damsel came to him. And she basically says to Peter, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. You were with him. What are you doing outside here? But Peter, the big mouth Peter who said, I will never deny you. And the Lord says, you couldn't deny me three times before the cock crows. No, I will never do that. But he was not the only one who said that. The rest of the disciples joined in that same confession. We will never deny you. One thing that is very certain is this. We can, when there are no challenges, make certain statements. I will never deny the Lord. I will never this. I will never that. No, it takes the grace of God to overcome challenges when challenges come. And we live in the precipice of that kind of a situation. In a time that the world is spinning out of order into the realm of disorder, when the globalists are working hand in glove with the systems of the devil to make certain that man comes under the control and the influence of the one world government system. In a time when the push is towards the certainty of the mark of the beast. You may be sitting down where you are and you're saying, I will never take the mark. I will never take the mark. Well, what marks are you taking right now? You think you're going to hold up when it finally is here? When you are stretching your hand to take this offer and that offer and this offer and that offer and this offer and that offer, all about taking care of me, myself, and I. Think? Self-preservation is a powerful force. The Lord Jesus had to battle with it. But the solution was, it's not my will that I want your will. And if we're going to be overcomers in these last days, we've got to learn that lesson. God, what do you want? Because what I want to do is only what you want. You've got to practice it. You've got to trust God for mercy and for grace to go through the situations, the daily situations that you face on a daily basis, to make the right decisions on a daily basis. Because you're not going to make the right decision at the last point, overnight. No, no, no. It doesn't happen that way. The Lord Jesus Christ had learned obedience by the things he suffered. He learned obedience. He learned obedience. The ability to follow through. And if you are not in that place of suffering, suffering in the terms of deciding to do what God wants done rather than pursuing the world system and where everybody's heading, if you're not willing to go against the grain of the system when you know that something is off, well, child of God, I tell you what, you are going to fold. You're going to fold. It's just a matter of time. You're going to fold. It takes the learning of choosing to obey God. No matter how tough the situation is, so I elect and I choose to obey God. We'd rather obey God rather than man. So the disciples said. And they rejoiced when they were being whooped, when they were being stricken, because they wanted to speak the word of God. There are things going to happen, child of God. The challenges are going to come. But you and I need to begin to learn how to take stands that sometimes may not be popular. Bible says Peter denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, man? Huh? Who knows Jesus? I'm sure he was stammering. You said you're not going to deny him. A little kid comes and now you're flipping. And when he was gone out into the porch, in other words, he left that place. Another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. This is more affirmative. This is, weren't you one of, no, this guy was one of them. And again he denied with an oath. Now, I do not know the man. I do not know the man. He'd been with the Lord Jesus Christ 3.5 years, seen the miracles, caught the fish, walked on the water with him. And says, I do not know the man. I don't know him. I don't know him. Wow. I'm not here pointing a finger at Peter. No. No. He's trying to preserve his life. The Bible says, and after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. You have an accent. And from your accent, we can tell you're a Galilean. And there's no reason for you to be here hanging around this place as a Galilean if it were not because you were with this guy. Your speech betrayeth thee. The question is, do our speech betray us that we are believers, that we are followers of the Lord? Or does the language that you speak sound more like the language of the world? Peter swore an oath. And that's a very serious thing, because it's not like, I swear to God. No, that was not it. No, Peter was hauling on himself curses. He was cursing himself. If I know this guy, may my life be cut out of the family of God. May I go to hell. It was that serious. He said, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, just like the Lord said. In one of the Gospels, it says Jesus, from where he was, looked at him. I may be far away and I didn't hear everything you were saying, but I just heard the cock crow. Was that right? Am I a true prophet or a false one? Then Peter remembered the word of Jesus. We said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Why is he weeping? He'd done what he said he was not going to do. It proved that he was all mouth, no substance. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that? You made a commitment, and you know what you're going to do, but you did everything but what you said you were going to do, because you were self-preserving. How many times have believers found themselves in a place like that? The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. May God help us, every one of us, to not be mouthy and saying things that we think we're going to do in our own might and power. Rather, may we come to the place where we surrender ourselves to the grace of God and trust God to help us do the right thing. I cannot place faith on myself and what I'm going to do or not do. I can only place faith in His ability to help me go through particular things, make decisions that only He can help me make. It is so easy to deny when you are all about yourself. The Lord says, if you're going to self-preserve, you're going to lose your life. But if you're willing to die for my sake, you save it. You gain it. May we gain our lives and not lose. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 27, let's continue. It says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. When they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. The man comes and says, this guy is innocent. And he said, we don't care. As I look at our world today, I see that playing out over and over again. People really don't want truth. In my early days, I used to think, people just want to know the truth. I've come to understand. It's like the movie. I've forgotten the name of that movie. Where Tom Cruise, I think, has been challenged by Nicholas or something. I don't know. Whatever. You can't stand the truth. You say they want to know truth. No, they don't. I've seen it as a pastor. I've seen it happen over and over again. You know, people sit down and they hear the word of God and say, "Oh, I like it. You're preaching the truth. You're preaching the truth." And when they start telling you you're preaching the truth, that is your good sign that they're about to leave. I've seen it over and over again. Oh, that's the truth. I like this church because you preach the truth. I thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm not going to tell you bye because I know you're about to tell me bye. I really don't want to hear truth. But does that stop us from preaching the truth? No. You got to preach the truth. But a high percentage of people just want whatever will tickle their ears. Give me, some hot dogs and pizza. Don't give me nice, good, healthy food. Just give me something to snack on. Try to give them real good meat. Well, it's very deep truth, but can we lighten it a little bit? No, you're not going to get no gospel light here, please. We're going to get the real deal because, this guy is not going to stand before the Lord. I'm sorry, I gave them gospel light just to tease them in. No, this gospel, the Bible says, the violent take it by force. You're going to want it. You're going to want to continue in the word. Then you know the truth. And the truth that you know because you continue makes you free. Remember in John 8, there were these guys. Oh, the Bible says there's certain disciples. By the time the Lord gave them some serious word, they were picking up stones They want to stone him. He said, what is that to us, that he's innocent? Huh? What is that to us? Get out of here. You go deal with your own conscience. Yeah. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Well, this guy betrayed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. It didn't make any difference, Peter or Judas. Both of them had blown it. But he drops the money, what he thought was going to promote him, elevate him, prosper him. Now he saw, this is no good. Why did he betray him? He'd seen the Lord so many times escape. Tight spot. In Luke 4, they're trying to push him off the cliff, and he turns around and walks right through. Over and over again, he's seen Jesus hide himself. And that's why he told them, when I kiss him, grab him tight. He didn't expect that Jesus was going to really give himself up. He didn't believe the Lord. He thought he was going to get some money for free. And now that he sees that Jesus is not going anywhere and they're busy binding Jesus and they're carrying him here and then, they're taking him to Pontius Pilate, he says, oh my God, what did I do? This guy is really going to allow them to kill him. And now he wants to reverse it. But too late, these guys don't care. They don't care, they want him dead. Cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departs and goes and he hangs himself. He didn't even give the Lord a chance to speak to him. So it is with so many people. They are overwhelmed by their guilt that they don't give God a chance to reach them. I found out in the Word of God that God is a God of the second chance. In the Old Testament, Gehazi is cursed by his prophet, and he and his children are lepers. But God goes to the 100th mile to restore a person. A famine comes upon the land. Gehazi, even though it's not mentioned right away in the scriptures, by name, he just says there were four lepers outside in the camp, and these four lepers go into the camp of the enemy, and by the time they get there, the enemy were all gone, and they get all these resources, and they began to bury it, and then came to mind, we better go tell the household of the king what has happened here. Because he could remember, this is exactly what I did before and I became a leper. He goes and he tells the king, and guess what? Israel received victory that day. They had all the surplus, the prophetic word came to pass, and on and so on and so forth. Later on in the passage, in the 8th chapter, I believe it was, the Bible tells us that Gehazi was walking with the king and was testifying of the miracles that the prophet had done and how he raised a young man back to life. Why is Gehazi there? Because that Gehazi, because he continued and repented was restored. His leprosy and the leprosy on his children were cleansed, even though it was supposed to be a forever thing. God can still reach you and I if we give God a chance and not allow guilt and condemnation to overwhelm. You may be listening to me right now. I don't know why the Lord is quickening this in my spirit at this very moment. You are so depressed and so discouraged, and you are thinking of doing the wrong thing with your life. You want to snuff yourself. Don't do it. It doesn't matter what you have done, what's happening in your life. Suicide is not the answer. Taking your life is not the answer. You can turn to God right now. He yet forgives. He will do anything to restore you. Get it? Yes, he does. Judas didn't have to hang himself and die. If he'd only just made the decision, I've seen Jesus speak the word of forgiveness. He said, if we sin, if we've done something wrong, somebody's done something wrong to us, we have the chance to forgive them 70 times 70 in one day. Could have had forgiveness. You say, what about the prophetic word? Let me tell you what. God could care less about the prophetic word when it comes to saving his son or his daughter. God will do whatever it is that he needs to do to save you. If you're willing to trust him. Did he not say to Cain, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be a hunted man and blah, 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 blah. And Cain says, hey, that is too much. And God says, yes, you're right. Anybody who tries to do what I said, I'm going to deal with them. Well, that's the God you serve. Now, this is not a license to go sinning. Because you can come to a place where you become hardened in your heart that you will not have the spiritual common sense to repent. I'm saying to you, if you choose God, God chooses you. Because he chose you before the foundations of the earth. And he came to destroy the works of the devil. And God will do whatever it is that he needs to do to make certain that you are whole. But are you willing to receive the love of God? For there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit of God, there's no condemnation for you. But you walk after the flesh, and that's the path that you're following, it becomes a way to destruction. Make a decision. The Bible says, and the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury. Can you imagine? These guys that don't care about innocent blood, they're now talking about that it's not lawful for us to put this money back into the treasury because it is the price of blood. So you know that. They knew they were doing the wrong thing. They're very aware of what they're doing. Why are they doing it? Self-preservation. We want our positions. And this guy is here and he's just turning things around and he's He's messing business up for us. He says, and they took counsel. They sat down and talked about it and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. They took that money to buy the cemetery. The Bible says, wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day, called the field of blood. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. Wow. And gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. Now, watch this. By this time, wouldn't you think that these guys will say, wait a minute, everything that we're doing is lining up with a prophetic statement concerning the Messiah? Oh my, we blew it. Oh no. See, the reality is, when you harden your heart to the truth of God's word, you will continue doing the wrong thing. They had gone past the tipping point, and now it was downhill all the way. David, at the time when kings go to war, stayed home. Saw a woman, Bathsheba, commits adultery with the woman. Finds out that the woman is pregnant, sends for the husband to come so that he can go and be with the wife, so that he can pass off the child to another man. But the man refused to go to his wife. Gets him drunk, and the man still did not go to his wife. He did everything possible trying to hide his sin. Until he had the man killed. Trying to cover up. If repentance is not activated, the only thing that man does consistently is try to cover up his sin. And we'll go from one level to the other, to the other, to the other. And yet they are. What are they doing? Trying to cover up. They went and they bought a piece of property. For what reason? To bury strangers. Oh, nice guys. Look at them. They went to buy land for strangers. Oh, what a loving right. 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 There's no truth in that. Bible says in verse 11, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Oh, it's amazing to me how he responds. Thou sayest, art thou the Christ? Thou sayest. You said it. Are you the king of the Jews? Thou sayest. Wow. Talking about diplomacy. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Kept his mouth shut. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? I wonder, what are these things? They've had a bunch of lies that were not proven. And then they came up with this whole idea of him being the Christ, the Messiah. And he says, you're going to see me coming down and glory in the cloud. So exactly what are they saying? There's only two things so far. But they are witnessing against him. Guess what? It's a whole bunch of lies that they've concocted and put together based on what it is that they wanted to accuse him of. So I look at our world today. I see nothing different. Nothing's different. Nothing's changed. People come up with all kinds of ideas. And that's why we need to be very careful when we hear accusations. Because the accusations that people rain on individuals that's not founded on any truth at all. It's just whatever it is that they want to believe about you, and they project it on you. He says, and he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. You have all these accusations and you're not saying anything? Aren't you going to preserve your life? Don't want to preserve, self-preserve? No, if you're going to go to the cross, there's no place for self-preservation. If you want to be a true preacher of the gospel, there is no place for self-preservation. And we are in those days now where we need to be certain what we stand for and why we stand for it. If you know, you know, I was talking to my children not too long ago. I wanted to go somewhere. And they said, Dad, you can't do that now. See the situation? I said, may I see all of that? I said, one thing. I want to go there because I have a general proclamation from the Lord, commandment to go into all the world. I can find other ways to do whatever it is I want to do. But I can tell you this, if I hear from God and God says, son, I want you to go over there, I don't care about what anybody says. I'm going over there. I said, that's a commitment I make to you. If God says to me, I want you to go to Brandon I'm going right now. We're not going to discuss it. Because I've been in a situation where God said, go do something, and I didn't do it, and then it was trouble. I don't want that trouble. You say, well, isn't that fear? It's good fear. So reverence for God and recognizing that He's the boss and you not. And here's the Lord. Keeps His mouth shut. He says, now at that feast. That's strange. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. What feast is this? This is the feast of Passover. And during this feast, the governor releases unto the people a prisoner. Whichever prisoner they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the father. And old translations had this name here, Barabbas Jesus. So this guy, Barabbas Jesus, had the same exact name as Jesus, the son of the father. But this Barabbas was a crook, a crooked guy, a criminal. And here is Barabbas Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And He is going to switch places. Just like God sees you and sees me and says, you are the Son of the Father. And Jesus, our Lord, is going to switch places with you and I. I'm excited to continue with this thought, but I'm going to leave it till next week when we come together again. This is not coincidental that a person that is going to be switched off, His name is called Barabbas, Jesus. So when they are crying out, crucify him, Barabbas, and they're bringing Barabbas out of the prison, he thinks he's going to die. But he's been switched off. Just like the devil thinks you are going to be the one who's going to die and be lost forever. But Jesus is going to take your place. Or would you let him? Will you let him? Will you let him take your place? Take your sin, take your poverty, take your shame, take your sickness, take your diseases, take your confusion, take whatever it is that's messing you around. Take all of that and exchange with you. By giving you the best and much more that God and only He can give to you and I. It's a decision. My prayer is that you'll accept the love of God. Can you imagine? You being a Barabbas. And you're told to go free. And you say, I can't go free. I'm a macho man. I committed the crime. I have to pay the price. No, He's paying the price for you. No, I got to pay the price myself. You will die. Take the deal. Accept the love of God. And get out. Quick, run. Jesus is taking your place. Go home free. free from all the condemnation, free from all the shame, free from all the pain, free from all the confusion, free from all the defeat. Take the deal. Receive God's love and go home free to that. Smartest deal. God is taking your place. Take the deal. If you're listening tonight and you want to take that deal, just say with me, Lord, I give you my life and I receive your life. Forgive me for every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me a new person. And help me, O God, to live a life that glorifies you. Thank you, Father, for your everlasting love. Thank you that I can say this day and always, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Amen and amen. I pronounce God's healing power to flow in you and through you. I declare that God be the God of comfort and the God of peace to you. That every issue facing you this day will fall off of your life as God upholds you with his right hand of righteousness. May God's grace keep you and sustain you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. I love you and I look forward to being with you this Friday for another time together in the presence of God as we pray together. Good night. Love you. Honor God with your giving, and as you do so, and please don't forget to do that. This ministry, we are not stretching our hands to the Canadian government, federal government, or to the provincial government, or to whoever, because we do not believe that that's our source. We trust that God, who loves us all and has blessed you, that you will honor God with your tithe, with your offerings, with your givings of faith, and may God multiply our seed sown. So honor God today with your giving. We're not going out there to get anything from anybody, from any government. We place our faith in God, who has placed his faith in you to be a cheerful giver. So do your part, and may God honor you for doing so. Good night.